James chapter 4, verse 8. Let's read it again together. You've been seated while I stand. We'll give honor to the Lord's word. Give you a minute to stretch yourself. I mean, you're going to be sitting for the next 2.5 hours. I figure I'll let you stand a minute. First time some of y'all smiled all day right there. All right, James chapter 4, verse number 8. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. That's what we dealt with this morning. Cleanse your hands. Who? Ye sinners. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. You can have a seat. Thank you for standing. I'm not going to re-preach this morning, but I do want to go back up and grab a verse that will tie right in where we're going to pick up. You remember this morning when I read the verse in James, and James said to cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts. And then I said I want to give that context and go back to the Gospel of Matthew and listen to what Jesus said about drawing nigh to God. James tells us draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to us. Jesus said it to the religious crowd, and just by happenstance, that's who we are. By the way, don't let... I went through a long period of time in my life, like a lot of other words, I let the world and powers that be hijack good terminology, good verbiage, good words, and I'd steer away from it because certain people, like for a long time in my life, I grew up with a lot of people in my family, half my family or more are what they call holiness, Pentecostals, other half are Baptists. Well, you see where I landed, right down the middle. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I landed right in the Baptist. But a lot of my life, I steered away from talking about holiness and the holy things of God because I seen such a amped up version and such coloring outside the lines and getting outside the Bible on the other end. And that's just one example. There's many, many, many other words that I would steer away from. But the Bible says right here, in dealing with the heart, He said, "You hypocrites." It's Jesus speaking about the heart. "You hypocrites." Matthew 15:7. "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips." Talk good. But their heart is far from it. I grew up in church my whole life. I know how to go to church. I know how to act in church, and you'll never know the difference if I'm right or not. And the truth is, most of you can't. You've done it long enough. You can fake it. What do you think? Don't look at me so goofy. You know that's right. I know how to go to church. I know what to wear. I know what to say. I know how to act. I know when to raise my hand. I know when to say amen. I know when to pull my wallet out. I know when and what to do and to look the part. Which, by the way, is what religious people do. And I run from that word religion. I hated it. I thought religious people, how vile. Because I grew up with religious people. I've been around religious people my whole life. Some of the cruelest, most vile, mean people you've ever met in your life are religious people. You don't know how mean? You don't know how vile? You don't know how crude and vicious religious people are? They nailed the Son of God to the cross. They've butchered more preachers. They've cussed, lied, cheated, and split more churches. Religious people. It's like, oh, preacher, you shouldn't say that stuff. We're here. I know. That's why I'm preaching to you. I I was in, I believe it's the book of James. You don't have to run from words just because the world hijacked them. Pure religion is undefiled. God's for religion if it's pure. But the kind of religious crowd that Jesus is dealing with, he calls them out and says, your mouth talks right, your lips honor me, you know all the right things to say, but your heart is far from me. Amen. We're dealing with how to, not just drawing nigh to God, but how to. Amen. Dealt this morning with, it's one thing to tell somebody to do this, another to show them how, teach them how to do it. We know we need to get closer to God. How do you? Number one, this morning we looked at, first, you got to cleanse your hands. Cleanse your feet. Get the world. And if you read James chapter 4, I started to read it tonight. Just the few verses, sat right down there and read it during the singing. It's what it's talking about. I ain't got time to. I want to bad. Go home and read it. It shows you how in this world we live in is so easy. You don't even have to try to get dirty. Do you know, it's the truth. If you don't believe it, ask my wife. She hates it way worse than I do. It don't bother me. I wear white t-shirts all the time. That's what I wear. That's what I wear. When y'all don't see me, if I'm at home, I got a white t-shirt on. I got one on right now. You just can't see it. And when I'm at home, you know what I do? I get up before anybody else, including the roosters, and I go straight to my coffee pot and I get it going. That's what I do. Say, good morning, Lord, as I'm on the way to the coffee pot. Me and my white t-shirt. Do you know my children? This morning this happened. I forgot to lock the door. And Laura walked into my bedroom, and I was clothed, but not fully. And she sent me without a shirt on. She said, oh! You say, well, that's crazy. No, it ain't crazy. It ain't crazy. I want my children to have respect for me. I don't want to walk around the house half naked. Hey, girls. Some of you come to church about that way. Hello, Tokyo. Y'all still out there? Amen. Thank y'all to dress up, come to church. Amen. Wear the best you got. If the best you got is a white t-shirt, come on with it. I mean that. But I got a white shirt on all the time, and I drink coffee all the time from the time I get up to the time I go to bed. Black coffee, that's what I like. Don't blunt. I used to do the cream and sugar thing when I grew up. I put away childish thing. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Hey, you can dish it out, I can dish it back. Baby. No, I'm kidding. Listen, my point is, I don't have a white t-shirt. They ain't got coffee spots all over them. I don't try. It just happens. I even try not to. And before the bottom of that cup hits, or the third or fourth, splash. Dot, 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 dot. And if it wasn't coffee, the rest of them's got oil and grease from working on somebody's car. They just all that way. I can get a brand new one, and for tomorrow, it's going to have stains on it. It's truth. Why do you think I cover them all up? but say, so won't you buy more? Because I'll do the same thing to them, and they're comfortable. I wore them in. But my point is, I don't have to try to get them dirty. They just get that way. Do you know tomorrow morning? I was talking to somebody in the foyer. He said, I got saved such and such day, such and such year. I'm backslid, and I'm trying to get right with the Lord and get closer to the Lord. That's what he told me. You know what? That blessed my heart. Somebody be that honest and say, I'm here, but I'm trying to get there. Amen. You know what that is? That's somebody that's on the move. Amen. Somebody who comes in, head bowed, bless God, hallelujah, hallelujah, glory. Oh, they ain't going to get no help. They ain't going to show you they need no help. They ain't going to show nobody. You know who's going to get help? Somebody will say, here I am, but there's where I need to be. And fast as I can get there, I'm trying, if the Lord will help me. That's the person who's going to get there. Amen. Not somebody who's faking it and full of hypocrisy. That's what Jesus said. He said to them, "You bunch of hypocrites. Put on your mask and hide behind it your religious garb. Say with your lips." Jesus said, "If you want to get close to me," in the book of James, he goes back down and says that we got to wash our hands, wash our feet. James says if we're going to draw nigh to God, we must cleanse, reject, deny, repent, and abandon our sin. Hey, I'm done with what we dealt with this morning. We're moving to higher ground. But listen to me. I have to deal with this. Because church, you think COVID's everywhere? This is everywhere. What I'm about to deal with is everywhere. Would make COVID look like a sneeze in Baptist churches. We have claimed 1 John 1 and 9 to the point we've made it pointless. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, all our unrighteousness. Yeah, He is. But you got to put that in context. That don't mean like go live like hell on purpose and go sin all day long and have a credit card to do it at Jesus' expense and say, "Well, I'm under grace. He ain't going to get me. I'm going to heaven. So I'll just go drink it up, cuss it up, smoke it up, snort it up, and do what I want to do." And at the end of the day, claim 1 John 1:9. He's faithful and just. I confessed it. That's who He's talking about, you bunch of hypocrites. With your mouth you say, "Forgive me," but your heart is black as 1,000 midnights. And now we're going to move from the hands and the feet that must be dealt with. We do confess our daily sins. You can't get to the heart till you do that. As they would enter into the tabernacle, there was that labor, wash your hands, that sink. I'm going to say more about that, about these priests. Number two, the heart. First, we dealt with the hands. Now the heart. Look, I'm right here in the verse. Draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. And here's a different word, purify. It didn't say cleanse. In your King James Bible, they were very brilliant men who gave their life to studying language. Translators. They gave their entire life from the time they were knee-high. Brilliant minds. They didn't accidentally put cleanse your hands in one part of the verse and in another part put purify. It's two different words. Purify. And I want to show you a difference that I learned in studying this. Purifying your heart has a way deeper meaning than the casual daily washing of your hands. You wash your hands, as I said this morning, go to the table. Let's look at this heart issue. Cleanse means wash, but purifying is a word in the ceremonial process of the priestly garments and instruments that they would play at worship. Those priests would come in and God demanded them and commanded them to, before they would enter in, that they would cleanse and their hands and feet and purify their garments and instruments before ever going to worship Him. And that's going to get interesting in a minute when I tell you just what those garments had been through. It's unbelievable. When you hear what they had to do with those garments before they'd enter in, and they didn't just ride up to Walmart or this tells you how old I am. I about said down to the Blue Jean outlet, but that ain't there no more. I was trying to think somewhere to buy clothes. I don't do it. People do it for me. Is anywhere somewhere you get clothes at? I don't know. Holly called, wanting Brady some dress shirts the other day and a tie. Wherever you couldn't just, these priests couldn't just go up the road or get out. Hey, here's one better. They couldn't just pull out their phone and say, "Hey, Mr. Amazon, come see me. Bring me some size 34/30s. Couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. They had to keep what they had, contain what they had, clean what they had, and God was not about to let them come in there filthy, bloody, stained, sweaty, and worship the Holy God of heaven. And He said, "Before you come to me, you better purify yourself." Look, ceremonial process, the priestly garments and instruments that were used to for temple worship. Cleansing is the physical sense. Simply means wash your hands and face before sitting at a table. But purification means something much, much deeper. Cleansing washes those sins on the outside. You can wash the dirt off your hands just under the sink, but it's going to take some serious scrubbing. And I'm going to teach you how. I'm going to show you how the priest done it. And it's mind-boggling all that they went through to purify. It wasn't simply putting your hands under a sink or a laver. It wasn't just putting their feet in a basin and having water run over it. Purifying was much, much more involved when it comes to the garments of God's priests and God's people before they ever went to get close to God. And when I say the priests, when they would go into worship, that's what they were doing, drawing nigh. This is how they drew nigh. This is the only way they could draw nigh. If they didn't do it this way, they could not advance. They could not go forward. They would not, because God would kill them. So how do I draw closer to God? Cleanse your hands and purify your hearts. Let's look on. It's a ceremony. Purify, ceremonial word. Keep in mind, priest in this day, they wasn't just teachers who would get up, sit in their office about 45 minutes before service and get up and give a 30-minute lecture and then go back to their office, go play around the golf. That ain't what priest of that day was. No friend. You know what priest in this day was? They were biblical butchers. Sheep by the thousands. Goats by the thousands. Turtle doves by the thousands. Calves by the thousands. They would slit the throat and the blood would drench and splash and they would sweat and blood would run all day long, day after day. And then at the end of the day, those garments, those priestly garments were saturated and soaked in the blood of the sacrifices and with the blood and sweat of their own selves, and they could not go to God in that shape. There had to be some purifying done before they were to draw nigh to God. Is that making any sense? That's more than just the casual run by the sink. Now I lay me down to sleep. Prayers. God is great. God is good. No, friend. When the priest would come after their daily sacrifices were done, their clothes were dripping, stained, and saturated with blood, sweat. And yet, when they would come and get ready to enter in the temple. How many of you ever heard of Josephus? He's not in the Bible, but he's a great biblical historian. Held one hand of the early church and give us literature, great literature, of what happened between then and the writings we have today. Let me tell you what Josephus said. Listen, it's so interesting. Josephus said they would take those garments and sprinkle them. Listen to the process. I'm talking about purifying. And if God required the priest, before they could come nigh to Him, to purify their garments and their instruments, James told us, if you want to draw nigh to God, this is how you do it. You cleanse your hands and you purify. He did not mince words. He did not mix that up. He said that on purpose. Purify. Same word God used for the priest. Listen. Josephus said this. Listen to how this plays out. They would take those garments and sprinkle them with the blood of a spotless lamb. You say, but preacher, there's already bloody. But not from a spotless lamb. First, you say, but that's getting it more dirty. Just listen. Oh, just listen. The blood of a spotless lamb would be sprinkled over the garments and the instruments. Then they would wash them in pure, clean, fresh water. And they would purge them and they would wash vigorously and over and over with that fresh, pure water after the sprinkling of that lamb, spotless lamb. Say, this ain't making no sense to me. Just hang on. Then they would take after the blood had been sprinkled of that spotless lamb in the clean, pure water, and it had been scrubbed, then they would apply the sap of a myrrh tree, like balm, like a fragrance of the myrrh tree. You ever heard of myrrh? What do they give to Jesus? It's at Christmas time. We still got our decorations up for today. By the way, time out. Announcement. You don't mind. Tomorrow night, 6 o'clock. I tell you right, Miss Charlene. Don't forget your poinsettias out of church. I didn't forget. All right, back to preaching. Myrrh, the myrrh tree, they would peel back that myrrh and peel the sap off that myrrh tree and the fragrance of that myrrh tree, and they would massage that myrrh into the garments that had been sprinkled with that blood and then vigorously washed with pure, crystal clean water. And then they would dry them. And then they were ready. They had been purified. So what in the world does all that have to do with us in 2022? I'm glad you asked. This wasn't just scrub it up, time to eat. This was a very intentional, tedious, detailed process where those clothes were put under the blood and then under the water, anointed with this perfume to prepare them for entering into the presence of God. Keep that in mind. Tedious, hard work, on purpose, not just tripped into it. I'm going to tell you something. You might splash your hands on the way into this church house, but it's going to take more than that for you to get close to God. You're going to have to on purpose, with purpose, intentionally do some things different than the same old thing you've been doing. Same old thing I've been doing. I ain't preaching at you, I'm preaching to us. Amen. Listen. Please hear me right here. Don't quit on me. You see the difference between just cleanse your hands and purifying your heart? There's more involved. We've got to cleanse our hands and feet, but much deeper level, we must purify our hearts, in which the sin of our hands and feet are manifested. I'm about to tell you something that's so good, and it's going to tie all this together. You can wash your hands, Brother Jimmy, till you ain't got skin left to wash. You can wash them to the bones, and your bones will get dirty. Let me give you this verse. Please, if you've got bored this far, if you will just hang on, it's about to get better. I'm telling you, this will help you. This has helped me. This truth has helped me tremendously this week, today. Listen, we must purify our heart because we can keep washing and washing and washing and washing and we'll still stay dirty. You're going to get dirty again. Cam, I guarantee you, I ain't a prophet or the son of one, but tomorrow toward noon, you'll be dirty. And I could go down the rows, beginning with me. We all going to. Getting dirty. And I'm talking about, when I say getting dirty, I'm talking about sinning. You're going to sin tomorrow. Hey, I got a secret. Don't tell nobody. My mama's going to sin tomorrow. My mama. I just told on her. In front of God and everybody. She's going to sin tomorrow? I shouldn't. I'm not joking. She is. If she don't, it'll be the first time in her life. Wicked thing you. No, I'm serious though. Listen, we're going to sin tomorrow and it's going to require more washing. We can't neglect that. But that is not the problem. Your sinning ain't the problem. And we maximize our sin and we live trying to knock that sin down and bat that sin down and quit this and quit that when the whole time it's just being produced and manifesting itself from where? out of the abundance of the what? Heart, the mouth speaketh. Out of the abundance of the heart are life's issues. What's in your heart? When you dig that thing up out of the well of your heart, whatever's in there, gonna come out. I seen a guy, I think if I can remember how this went, a man or woman was carrying a cup of something, tea or something. Somebody bumped into him and the thing was full to the brim and it spilled that out. And he got so mad and went off on the person, "You made me spill this." And the whole moral of that thing was, it's whatever is in the cup. It ain't who bumps you. It ain't their problem. It's what comes out of you when you get bumped. That wasn't the person that bumped you's problem. If you get mad and somebody cuts you off in traffic, I don't like that. But I don't automatically tell them they're number one either. You're number one. You don't have to automatically go there. It happens to me too. I've done it. I've been the guilty one many times. I've cut people off. And you probably have too. My point is, what's in you, that's what comes out. That's what has to be purified. That's what's got to be focused on. Not what you end up doing all the time and chasing that dirtiness and hunting every cobweb in the corner of your heart. This old country church up in the mountains. I thought this is so good and illustrates this so well. This old country church, the preacher would call on this old country man, come to church every Sunday with his overalls on, which I'm for. I am for that. I think we'll wear overalls in heaven. I do. Y'all can keep your white robes and all that stuff on. But that old farmer sitting over there and the old preacher, he'd call him and say, "Won't you pray for us this morning?" About every week, and it went on for years, and that old farmer would always say this. He'd say, "Oh, Lord God, clean out all them old cobweb spider sins in her heart. Oh, Lord God, clean out all the old spider web sins in her heart." They'd pray that week in and week out. Week in and week out. "Get the cobwebs of sin, oh Lord, out of her heart. Clean the cobwebs of sin out of her heart." And after years, that same prayer, and it sounds good and it is good. While he was praying, "Oh Lord, clean the cobwebs of sin out of her heart," little old lady sitting up front saying, "Lord, while you at it, just kill the spider." Well, there's an idea. In other words, get to the root of it. Why are you cleaning cobwebs and why are you running and chasing dirt that's just going to reappear? Have you ever dusted? Well, that wasn't a once and final deal, was it? I'm simply saying, to get closer to God, we have to wash daily. We got to purify our hearts. Listen. Every time he prayed, I just dealt with that. Let me listen to this verse, speaking of what's in the heart. Luke 6:45, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh." Listen to this part. "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" Can I help somebody here this evening? I don't know who this is for. Maybe many. Maybe one. But the Lord told me to say this, and I'm going to say it, and I want you to listen carefully. You can try till Jesus comes to be something you'll never become if you ain't it already. If you have an evil heart that he's never saved, you can try to be a Christian all the days of your life. And you'll never become one by trying to be one. Amen. Every time you draw down out of that well, it's going to come up evil. Oh, you might flatter some good things and you might act good and say some good things and try some good for a few weeks or a month here. But if constantly you go back to being that same old evil person that produces evil, lying, murderings, cheatings, robbery, just you know what evil is. If that's what's in you and that's all that comes out of you, and you're constantly having to cover it up and hide it and try to portray that that's not who you are, could it be the light needs to ding and let you know you trying to be something you ain't,
amen,
but that you can, by the grace of God, become like that.
Amen.
And all you got to do is quit trying. You need to let Him give you a new heart. Because that old heart you got will never be what you want it to be. It'll never satisfy you nor people around you. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Why call you me Lord, Lord? You know, after pastoring for a long time in my life, you know something that puzzles me? And I mean this with all sincerity. Why, Brother Jackie, why do people play the game? Why do people who know in their heart they want to be out there running hell and running wide open and partying and doing everything they hiding from everybody in here and God, and then come in here and make themselves miserable, and pat themselves on the back and make them feel good and check off the do-good of the day chart to God? It don't work that way. You know what you're doing? You are suspended between two worlds, and you are the most miserable person there is. The only time you're ever really happy is when you ain't here and you're out there in your element. I don't know why God had me detour from the message and say that, but that's somebody here needed to hear that. And I'm going to tell you this. I don't care how many professions of faith you've made. I don't care how many prayers you've prayed, how many times you've been ducked in that baptismal pool. If there has never been a change, if old things never passed away, and behold, all things become new, that's repentance. You did a 180. If you never started hating sin and loving Jesus, and you still always want to go back to sin, I wouldn't trust that to get me home tonight, much less to heaven. I wouldn't. By the way, what you got to lose? God on purpose detoured this message for somebody tonight.
Amen.
What do you got to lose? I know. I've been in your shoes. The devil's saying, man, what's everybody going to think? And you already done that, and it didn't work, and you tried it before. Hey, listen, I promise you, if you'll come to Jesus with all you have and say, Lord, here I am, I ain't trying to hide nothing. I'll do whatever it takes. Take me just like I am. He'll save you.
Amen.
And you'll be introduced. You won't have to play church no more.
Amen.
You won't have to make yourself open that book no more. You won't have to make yourself pray no more. You won't have to make yourself go out and try to tell somebody about Jesus no more. It'll be bubbling out of your heart. Because out of the abundance of the heart, who you are. Amen.
Amen.
All right. We're about done. Sort of. Josephus said, those garments had to be sprinkled with blood in order to be purified. I mentioned this morning. I thought it was in the cleansing your hands part, but it ain't. Listen to 1 John 1:7. It's so good. Josephus didn't say this, by the way. John said this. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Comma. I'm going to finish that in a minute. That's exactly what I'm talking about. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. That means we get close to God. If you can walk with God, you in fellowship with God, you close to Him. Listen how that happens. Please, I said earlier how we just yank 1 John 1:9 and use it as a crutch. Can't be done that way. Listen to 1 John 1:7, and oh my goodness, this ought to become one of your favorite verses. He said, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Hear me. Please hear me. Cleanseth. Not cleansed. Not cleanses. Cleanseth. Thank God for your King James Bible. Them other Bibles don't say that. Say, what does that matter? I'll tell you why it matters. I'm not an English professor. If I had to take English class today, I'll be honest and humble and tell you, I would fail. Don't know how I passed. Can't speak it much. But for preaching purposes, I have went back and had to learn grammar. Who'd ever thunk it? And teachers kept telling me, you're going to need this in life, boy. They was right. Cleanseth. What does that mean? It doesn't say cleanses or cleanse past tense. It says cleanseth. You know what that word is? That is a progressive, a present progressive word. Nobody knows what that means. I'm in good company. Maybe Mary Ellen. Wasn't you valedictorian? This old smart girl over there. Or Mary. That means not just once. But right now, He's cleaning you. And in a minute from now, the blood of Jesus Christ is going to still be cleaning you. Present tense. Propelling. Progressively. And then when you jump way out here, and I can't jump right now, but when you jump way out here, it's still cleaning. And when you go 10 billion years in the future, that same blood, amen, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, is still cleansing your sin and mine. Amen. You know what I'm going to tell you? The upside of this whole thing, it ain't all about what you can and can't do. It's all about what He did.
Amen. Amen.
You can't clean yourself enough. You can't get good enough. You can't. Brother Ned, I already know me better than you know me. And don't you dare run out tonight and say, oh, let me give you the 411 on the preacher. Just call me. I'll tell you way more than they know. I know. I know. I know me. Cricket, I know me. I go home with me. But guess what, Raymond? You know you. And to tell the truth, you know you are just as wicked as I know I'm wicked. And I can go down every row in here and say the same blessed thing. We're all a bunch of wicked people. That's why we ought to be shouting, thanking God for 1 John 1:7. If we walk in the light as He is in the light. How do we walk in the light? I'll tell you how. By the sprinkling of that blood on those garments, by the washing of the Word, by that myrrh that will anoint us and make us smell so fragrant, and we can then enter into the presence of God and get closer and closer until we're holding hands and walking in the very presence of God, saying, hey Lord, how you doing? How did I get here? My Son's blood, my Word washed you, and boy, you smell so good.
Amen.
How about we walk a while? Talk a while. Amen. That's how it works. You say, surely not. It can't be that good. Oh, it is. It is that good and better than I can explain. I'm just a country bumpkin. Can't say much. Can't describe much. But I promise you, He's way better than I can tell you. I'll tell you what the Bible said. And they had good preachers and great prophets and great men that could write. And even the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, God breathed. And He said about Him, He's altogether lovely. Oh, it's better than you could ever imagine. Grace is so good. If you ever figured out, if you dove in grace and swam for 10 million years and tried to reach the bottom, you'd just have started. You ain't going to exhaust grace. My life verse, Galatians 2:20. But you know what got me to like my life verse? Galatians 2:21. Let me say, open it up to there. I have that backwards. Yeah, my last verse is Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ dwelleth in me, and the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Listen, verse 21. Oh, goodness, where'd the glasses go? That's why I give you that Bible. Stand up and read 21 loud. Turn around loud.
I do not frustrate the grace
Stop.
Of God.
I do not frustrate the grace of God. I love that. I frustrate me. I promise you, I frustrate her. You better not, but I do. I frustrate about anybody. Most of you. And trust me, I hear about it. The Bible said confess your faults one to another. It didn't say confess your sin, because God knows you was a bunch of gossips. If you confess your sin one to another, everybody in the whole country know it. If you got a fault one another, you know, you deal with that man to man. Oh, no. I'm saying, ain't you glad? Look how bad you've been. Look how bad you've been. Look how bad we've been. Since he saved us. What year did you say you got saved? 93. Have you always lived for him? I hadn't either. Oh, goodness. Man, you're going to go play golf, and I'm going to tell you where God brought me from. I'm telling you. We'd already planned it. I'm telling you. Just look at since he saved you, how low you've been. How much you failed him. How many times you've needed your garments that were stained, stinking. Do you know what a garment of the priest would smell like after butchering animals and blood saturating, staining the sweat? Have you ever been to a slaughter? Have you ever, just, all right, you redneck boys, this deer season just ended. Been down to the rack shack. You've been down to, Steve, what we call the place down there that we... King Cuts. Just go stick your head before they get to the cooler. Go stick your head in the gut maggot pile. Oh yeah, y'all getting the visual picture now, ain't you? That's the filth. That's the stench. That's the nastiness that these priests, we hear priests, we're thinking, oh, these holy men of old. Oh, they was. But their day job, oh my dear friend, filth, stinking, nasty, and as bad as you can imagine, sticking your head in the maggot jar. Just imagine how your sin smells to him. Can't even be compared. You say, oh, my sin ain't that bad. Anytime you ever think that, the next time you think, this ain't that bad. I ain't that bad. Please do me a favor. Go read Psalm 22. Go look at Jesus on the cross and look at the wrath God poured out because of you on His spotless Son, His only begotten. If you can look at that and say, it ain't that bad, my beer ain't that bad. I've had people that I love tell me, ain't nothing wrong drinking one or two. Ain't nothing wrong with smoking one or two. Sin is sin. And it cost Jesus his life. Amen. Don't, if you can say it ain't that bad and mean it, you some kind of demon possessed. Amen. If you can look at Calvary's tree, yes. Say, oh, this ain't that bad. You don't understand the gospel and the love of God.
Amen. Amen. Good.
If you're saved deep down in your heart, you know it's that bad. Yeah. Now, religion helps us cover it and cover over it and say, oh, it ain't that. I'm telling you, it is that bad. We are that bad. Yes. Our sin is that bad. Sitting right here in the church house. I've lost my glasses. I thought somebody might have stolen them, thought I had to quit. Listen, if y'all would sincerely, please listen faster so we can get done. The blood of Jesus continually cleanses us from sin. I got saved in 1991. The blood of Jesus cleansed me that day. Past, present, future. All my sins, they're being cleansed. Listen, I woke up the next morning after that day and realized I'm still a sinner. I ask Him to save me. I remember the weight of sin coming off of me. Like a heavy load. I felt like I come off the ground. I even looked up and said, if my 350-pound preacher got up off me like that. Everybody don't go through that, but I remember very clear, thinking, whew, my sins are gone.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, my sins are gone. I am free like a bird out of prison, free.
Amen.
I remember that. Just to wake up the next morning, I was late at night, about 10 o'clock at night, and on Wednesday night, the next morning I woke up and I said, I don't feel as saved as I did last night. I feel like a wicked sinner again. Got bad thoughts in my head. I mean, what in the world? And wasn't long, like not long at all. I probably my first sin after being saved was smarting off to you, Mama. Thanks. Been such a good mom. You helped me commit my first sin after being saved. Kidding. I don't remember what it was, but it wasn't long, Brother Jimmy. After I got saved, I sinned again. And this ain't news to nobody. So did you. But ain't you glad getting saved wasn't just for your past sins? The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth. When you wake up in the morning, count on it. Your sins are already covered and cleansed. You say it can't be. Can't be. Oh, it is. You say, but I thought we had to confess our sin. You do, to have fellowship, but not relationship. You're still His son. I don't care what you do. I don't care what you do. I don't care how bad you get. This come up this morning. The unpardonable sin. Standing right here. I don't even know how that come up, but someone said, I said, unpardonable sin. And he said, do you believe it? Without going into detail, I'm just telling you this. I even believe somebody can commit suicide that's saved and go to heaven.
Amen,
I can prove it from the Bible.
Yes, sir.
You believe Samson's in heaven? Bible says he is. He's in Hebrews chapter 11.
Amen.
I'm just telling you, Jesus' blood went way out there ahead of Samson's sin and saved him and cleansed him. Well, actually, it went way back there and way up there because he was slain before the foundation of the world. So it run way up there in history, covered Samson's sin and grabbed yours, all of them, and mine.
Amen.
And he does that every day. Ain't you thankful for that? Don't that make you want to get close to Him?
Sure.
He said, if they covered and they cleansed already, then I can just go out and have a heyday tomorrow. No, what you better do is come get saved tonight.
Amen.
If that's your mentality, hear me. Almost done. Save people even in backslidden conditions. Never think that way. Ever. You never think, I'll use God's grace as a license to sin. Ever. If you've tasted of the good grace of God, you will never think that way again. Ever. So if that ever comes into your mind and you meditate on it, you better run to Jesus fast.
Amen.
Ephesians 5:26, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that He might present unto Himself glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Our hearts must be continually washed by the water of the word. We're going to have to get to our mind next week, which is the final. Give me 2 minutes. Ephesians 5:1. Josephus, talking about the sweet aroma of the myrrh tree. Listen what Paul reminded me of when I studied that. Ephesians 5:1. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us, an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor, fragrance. How many of you ever been around somebody? We're done. Right now, done. You can identify with this. You ever been around somebody that had too much perfume on? I mean, they just took a bath in it.
Yes, sir.
I've been accused of it. I don't know. I'll just Especially if I ain't had time to take a shower, I'll just... So I'm going to sweat it out anyway. But you ever got in a car with somebody or even hugged somebody? And even when you leave them, they don't leave you?
Yes, sir.
I mean, you on down the road and you still smelling that joker back there. That aroma, it rides with you. Well, this ain't for you. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding, Jerry. Listen, if you've been close to him, the Bible said he's a sweet-smelling, as a sacrifice, an offering to God, he's a sweet-smelling savor. Have you been close enough to him that when you leave him, when you leave fellowship with him, when you leave walking with him, that the odor of Christ, that the fragrance, like the priest wore, people could smell the myrrh. When you leave church, when you leave your prayer closet, when you leave your Bible reading, when you leave being with him, does the flavor, does the fragrance linger?
Amen.
Can others say, I recognize that smell.
Amen.
That's something different about them. You might be saved. Y'all know what that means? We're getting out of here. I'm done. It ain't 5 minutes. You can be saved and go to heaven. But it takes more than being saved to be a Christian. They were first called Christians at Antioch. Why? They talked like him. They walked like him. They acted like him. They smelled like him. I wonder, are we willing to cleanse our hands, purify our hearts? And next week or Wednesday night, I'm going to tie this thing up and show you in reverse how we think. He talked about our hands. If we're going to draw now, our hands, our heart, and her head, in that order. Hands, heart, head. But in the Christian life, it's head, heart, hands. That's the way it really goes. Everything originates here,
right,
then goes here, and then comes out here. And we'll deal with that last. But let's stand together tonight, that's all. Father, in Jesus' name, pray you'd touch us, help us, Lord, to take the truth we've heard. Oh, God. I've tried my best this evening, Lord. And this morning, God, to preach the Word of God faithfully and honestly, anointed, Lord, with your touch. I pray in Jesus' name you would touch your people. And God, in this new year, help us, God, to not just talk about it with our lips, speak it with our mouths, but with our heart, draw nigh unto you. Cleanse our hands. Even since this morning, Lord, sin has got me dirty. Lord, my hands are filthy. Feet's dirty. But I realize, Lord, it's a matter of the heart. The matter of the heart. It's the heart of the matter. And I pray, God, tonight you'd help me to be willing to purify my heart. Come to you and be willing to confess it, deny it, or reject it. Run from it, Lord, run to you. I pray that for every Christian here. Lord, I pray if there's one lost here tonight, God, you'd save them. You diverted me for a few minutes, Lord, tonight to deal with that. I know it wasn't by accident, so Lord, I pray surely in a crowd this size, there's lost people, religious people, hypocrites, Lord. Oh, God, I pray you'd help us take your word to heart. Get it in their minds and wash us with your word. Draw us close to you in Jesus' name.